Resolution 24-533, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at
6:32
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-534, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Hassman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held October the 1st, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. A roll call once again, now that we're in open session.
Councillor Morley Haskam.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
I'm Robert Hertz.
Sorry. And Mayor David Bork. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. For delegations, maybe we'll have the delegation, then we'll read the resolution because it sort of works backwards there. But so we have Max Tower Company Limited regarding the inspection of 200-foot guide tower located at 10 Balsam Road and tower analysis results.
Yes.
So if you wish to come forward and speak into the microphone.
This is another document. This is a summary, correct?
With the inspection report itself.
Yes,
the actual inspection report.
I think we got that, right?
They look very similar.
Oh, okay.
One is the tower analysis, and the other one is the tower inspection document, report document,
which is more or less a summary document of the inspection that you have.
You're right. Even the first page is different. Okay. Go ahead. You can walk us through this and tell us what situation we're in there.
Okay. Well, the situation on the tower is not great.
No.
It's from the visual inspection that I had, from the pictures that my crew had taken, is it has not been maintained ever. And it's in very, very poor shape. It does currently not meet CSA. And it is basically at risk of failure. Some members of it are overstressed by 240%, which is pretty much catastrophic. It depends. It may last another 5 years, and it may last 5 minutes. It all depends. We do not know. We can't tell that. When it was designed to a certain code. Codes have changed since. According to the CSA, when you add an antenna that is not on the original design, the tower has to be inspected. It's no real guideline as to when the towers should be inspected, but commonly between 5 and 8 years, customers say, well, let's have someone take a look at it, but it's never been done. The guide tensions on this tower are likely very, very low, which is not up to par. The structural members of the tower they're not failing, but they're corroded significantly. You can see that through the photographs in the report. You can see the roughness of the tower under the paint. So basically, in our opinion, from the analysis and inspection, it's a critical thing that this tower be replaced.
I guess the question we have, not only for you, but for our fire chief, this is being used for what purpose?
So currently, NetSpectrum is on it, and the fire department, as well as the roads department can be on it. All the equipment is there for the roads department, but they are currently apparatus to apparatus. You can instead of going through the repeater. So in the future, when we complete or finish our digital upgrade, we could actually occupy the digital portion of the band. My understanding is that we can occupy the digital portion of the band, and the roads department can occupy the analog portion of the band, and thus have communications throughout the township, as opposed to their limited communications that they have now. Right now, they almost have to be line of sight to go. Like they have plow radios, let's say, right? So,
yeah, I guess the question we're looking at, certainly liability is a concern that is still there. And are you looking at replacing the tower at what cost, or are there alternatives, as you say, to use?
So I have had a conversation, and I had a visit to the tower site with NetSpectrum. They unequivocally said that they will not cover the cost of the tower or the replacement. We talked about the potential to do a sort of a co-arrangement where we provide the property and so forth, and allow them to put a tower on, and then this was all very initial phases, but in our visit we talked about this. We just wanted essentially the top part of the tower for our communications, because it provides us our best area of coverage, and then they could have their antennas similar to the way they have them right now, which I believe is at the 160 foot level or so. At current, there's 15 antennas on the tower. Many of them, I believe, are abandoned because we only have one contract with NetSpectrum, and I believe they only have two antennas on that tower. That would coincide with the amount of abandoned equipment that's in the hut right now, too. It would seem that the MTO, when they walked away, they just walked away. So Bruce is actually, I'm sorry, I forget your last name.
Clemens.
Mr. Clemens is actually fairly familiar with the tower, and he may actually know. Do you know anything about the extra antennas on the tower?
Well,
need a microphone.
Bob,
you need a microphone. I never use a microphone.
Well, some people on Zoom there.
Here. Oh, okay. Well, I'll get up.
Sorry. Okay, we'll share the podium here.
One big party.
One big party.
Well, basically, 20 years ago, when that tower was acquired from MTO,
right,
it was acquired because it became surplus. At that time, Rick Lee was the chief. Rick and I go back many years, so I put him in touch with the people who deals with Infrastructure Ontario that acquired that tower. Halfway up the tower is where the antenna originally was, and it was only a two-bay. And that gave, I would assume, reasonable coverage at that point. But when MTO abandoned the site, it became surplus. The top antenna, Telequip, is that the supplier?
Telequip is who we use.
Yeah, swapped over and put her on the top stick. Looking there yesterday, there's a lot that is all really NetSpectrum. If you look at the loading, even on the top section, it's negligible compared to down around the 100 foot mark,
yes,
where that 4 foot dish is. And the proposal, you know, you could hypothetically say, tell NetSpectrum to get their stuff out of there. How long would it be before it'll hit the ground? And who's going to assume the liability during that time? Is it going to be your underwriter, or is it going to be yourselves? And that's the question. It's liability.
So to finish answering your question, then, if we know that we currently only have one contract, were you able to bring
it? I wasn't.
Okay. So we have talked already about investigating the terms of that contract. I do know that it's a sweetheart of a deal, apparently. What they're paying on a monthly basis and yearly for a space on that tower. And so, legitimately, if they only have the two antennas on there and we have the top one, there is a business case to be made. Mr. Dirks can speak to that. He has personal experience with that in terms of creating a tower as a business and being able to have an input of funds from that. But as is with the contract with NetSpectrum, we would need to investigate it more, find out whether they would automatically have the right to migrate to a new tower, whether they would be responsible for, or whether we could renegotiate completely the terms of the agreement to more reflect what the value is. is today of the market for their rental space. I believe it's $350 for an initial antenna is sort of the going rate on a monthly basis for a single antenna. And now if we're not going to fill the tower, we don't have that many net spectrums up here, but theoretically we could put two or three on there and turn it into a tower that eventually pays for itself in a 10 to 15 year lifespan, or 10 to 15 year span. So
you see, this is what I remember too, all of this taking place years ago. I was part of it, and that was the idea at the time, that they're going to have a number of people who are actually going to use the tower and it would pay for itself. Now we're hearing the same story, so I'm a little concerned, I guess, that is it going to pay for itself, or are all the taxpayers going to pay for it?
Ultimately, we have the initial investment that we're going to be responsible for, the idea of hopefully having it, making a business case out of it and turning it into a viable income generator. We have people like Mr. Dirks that we can call on for advice on this type of thing. I know that, who wouldn't like a little bit better cell coverage in the area, or who wouldn't like a little bit better internet coverage in the area? Part of the discussion tonight will be a relocation of the place where the tower is, because there is a better location that will provide us better coverage. To your question, yes, the tower does provide the fire department with coverage throughout the township, but there are a lot of holes, a lot of dark areas. Moving it to a more central location that we already own and is already fed by power, we have done a site visit today, and it would greatly increase our reception for the fire department, but also probably be quite appealing to a net spectrum to be able to provide a better signal for the customers around the lake. So we'll get to that once we dig into it a little further. Yes, sir. Is this for Mr. Dirks? Do you want me to say that?
No, you can stay there. So in that case, couldn't we co-locate with an existing bell tower, for instance, in the township that's centrally located?
So bell towers are... Bell in particular, I have been advised, is very difficult to deal with to get on their tower. Rogers is a little bit more amenable to the situation, but it costs you about $20,000 just to get the ball rolling, because you have to do, they will make you do a structural analysis of their tower using their people before they even continue the conversation as to whether or not you can do that. Also, the cellular tower height would be lower than what we currently have, thus decreasing the effectiveness of the range that we have. When we come down in height, we increase the shadow behind hills, objects, rocks, stuff like that, right?
So the one on Fire Route 300, that's not a 200-foot tower?
The one on Fire Route 300, where's that?
Off-center road?
Off-center road.
Stewart Park Bridge.
Cole's
Point. Cole Point, yes. That is, I believe that's 180. I could be wrong, is it?
Yeah, I think you're pretty close.
Yeah, I believe that's 180. So we're losing 20 feet already, and then that all depends on the height that it is above sea level. Since we're talking about this, at current, the Balsam Tower is rated at 925 feet. The base of the tower is 925 feet above sea level. So now you throw 200 feet on top of that, and that is what our range is, okay? If we were to go to the site that we're discussing, I've had a conversation with our road super and with Mr. Dirks about it, and we did the site visit today. At 950 feet is the entrance to Lee's Road. And you have that flat area where there used to be, and there's actually old pavement there, but there's a substantial area there that also has power right next door that we own that you can put a tower on. And we've already bumped it. It's like putting 25 feet on top of our tower. So we've now increased our coverage area, made everything clearer by decreasing the shadows, and that would, to my mind, be more attractive to a company like NetSpectrum, because they're closer to the lake, which is the bulk of their customers, and they have a higher point.
Now, that's a technical question, I guess. Does it need a certain area underneath where I'm worried with the area you're talking about?
And so by going with a self-supporting tower, you have a footprint of, was it 15
feet?
About 15 feet.
Oh.
Whereas if you go with a guide tower,
right.
then you have a massively increased.
Yeah.
And we have cables that go directly across the Balsam Trail. Right. It's not ideal. And a guide tower actually will cost you more in the long run, because a guide tower will require, guide towers need to have a maintenance after the first year. And your assessment and maintenance after the first year is probably going to cost you about $5,000. Right? And that's a retensioning, because steel cables stretch, especially in the beginning. And it's the initial assessment of the tower as well. It's the assessment of the tower that year. And then after that, industry best practice is about 5 to 8 years. Kojiko, Bell, all these places, they tend to have their towers reassessed every 5 to 8 years. So if in 5 to 8 years, you're going to be doing another $5,000 for a retensioning of all the guidelines and another assessment, structural assessment of the tower. The lifespan of this tower is about 50 years. So you got about $50,000 worth of tower maintenance that you're going to be doing on a guide tower that you have to budget for. Self-supported tower, you will have to do a structural analysis essentially every 5 to 8 years. There's no initial 1 year tightening of lines or anything like that. And it's about half the price. It's about $3,000 for a structural analysis. $2,500, $3,000 for a structural analysis. So your cost, not only is it deferred 5 to 8 years, but it's also a lot less in the long run over a 10-year period, right? Over the life of the tower.
Councilor Zuba.
So what roughly is the cost of a structural tower?
So I believe it's in the package there.
$139,000
for the self-supported tower,
$127,000
for the guide tower.
And do you have to decommission the tower that we have now?
Yeah, that would be a Mr. Dirk's question. Yes.
It would have to be decommissioned, but there's two ways to go about it. since the tower is deemed unclimbable, it's unsafe to climb, you would have to get a crane in there to lift personnel up. And access, walking there myself today, you can't get any piece of equipment in there at all. So first you have to get a roadway put in to maintain this. And as far as the new self-supporting tower would be a lot less maintenance on it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that tower over there that we were.
The Coach Pill one. That's
yeah,
all,
how
that's
much
all
that was going to cost to
yeah.
take down. So this would be.
It's included in the quote as actually there's existing tower deemed unsafe to climb. If you're to remove the tower, the intent is where we require a crane and the removal. You're talking $38,250.
Okay.
Now, with that, with them just doing essentially a collapse of the tower and towing it over the front end loader, we're talking about you cut the guy lines on one side, it comes down in a controlled fall, you drag it out. If we had to bring equipment into the Balsam site, we effectively have to build a road to get in there, which means that Tom's building a road to get into the tower site so that we can get the cranes in there and we can put a new tower and a new base and everything in there. So there's that expense, which is not included, as well as the clearing of trees and all that stuff. So that's a direct township expense through our works department. Right? Yes?
One point with that is then we have more parking for the Balsam Trail.
That's what I was thinking.
that's
exactly what I
always thought. Looking on the bright side, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Sure. More parking for the Balsam Trail, absolutely. Less guidelines to walk through and everything like that, right? So, as far as the rest of it goes, the tower site at the dump essentially provides ideal access as is. There's enough room in front of that dump and minimal tree removal at the back end there. They can bring the cranes right in there, set up the tower right there. We don't have nothing to do but to move that little 2-foot berm of dirt so they can drive right up. Other than that, they can do everything in that site. And again, we have the benefit of 25 extra feet. So,
no,
I have asked, can we save a little bit of money on our tower by doing a 25-foot less tower, just so you know. And cost savings was only about $6,000. So for $6,000, we are talking about essentially
So that would be the fire department, the roads.
Fire department, roads would be able, like I said, roads should be able to occupy the analog portion of our band at that point in time. And then we don't, also in the fire department, who carry radios around all the time, don't have to listen to Rodney and Dan chatting while they're plowing the roads at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, they would be completely separate, right? As is, they are effectively vehicle to vehicle. And so this would benefit them because they would now have township coverage.
And possibly somebody else would go on.
And we could do, you know, obviously we would offer a spot for Net Spectrum if we have the ability to renegotiate to make it more beneficial to the township and get what market value should be for that rental spot on the tower, then we should do that. But we could also offer it to other providers in the area. We could also offer it to Rogers or Bell, who at that point would be very amenable to coming in and putting another reception point in the area, I would think, because both of them struggle with certain dead spots throughout the township, right? So for minimal cost for them, but yet we would get to rent a portion of the tower. And again, this tower is pre-designed to the same specifications that that tower had in terms of the number of antennas. So pre-designed for 15 antennas. It's feasible that you could put 6 more on there without overstressing. But as is, there's, you know, if we occupy one and Net Spectrum occupies 3, we have 12 places that we can potentially turn into income generating.
Now, I just want confirmation out of whether Carly or Tom, or who, that property that we've bitten before, that is township property you're talking about?
According to WPSGN, we own that entire corner of Lees Road and actually a little bit of the other side.
Yeah, and I thought so too, but we don't want confirmation of that, of course, so that before we go any further.
I can't confirm all the way.
Okay. To the best of our efforts at this point in time, it is 100% township-owned property,
yeah,
because the landfill is there. And
that all started out as, I think, leased property from M&R, so.
Yeah, so where the fire department at one point in time, before we went to the MTO tower, was off of Center Road, by Camp Road.
Yeah, the little shack in
there
the bush.
There was a little shack in the
yeah.
bush there,
yeah.
And that has since, I thought, maybe we can go there. That's another high point, right? It's actually within 3 feet of the dump site when I'm standing there with my GPS, so plus or minus a little bit. But that site has been completely decommissioned, and that is actually on Crown land.
Crown, yeah.
Yeah, that little shack, according to WPSGN, is tucked into the 66-foot easement, or right on the border of the 66-foot easement. But all around it is Crown land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
The other, you mentioned the Bell and Rogers, are they self-supporting or are they guide? Or?
That's a you question.
What's out there now?
The Bell Towers and the Rogers Tower, do they tend to be self-supported?
It all depends. It depends on what they have, what
right.
area they've got. Guide towers are less cost, less money initially, but self-supporting take up a lot less ground.
Right.
Because if you've got, for example, a 200-foot guide tower, you're looking at 80% of the tower height for each of the guide wires, how far out they go. And that's at 120 degrees. So you're looking at 160 feet out from the center point in each of 3 directions. You have to maintain that, according to the CSA, 30 feet on each side of that guy wire has to be maintained. It has to be accessible, so you can get basically people and equipment to it if needed.
Which means no tree growth, no...
That's right.
Nothing but lawn, essentially.
Right?
Sure.
Sure.
So right now, we don't have that.
No.
So Bell or Rogers wouldn't have a problem if they wanted to put something on that tower, if it was a freestanding tower?
Probably not. They would like, if they need the space and something's right there, they would likely entertain the idea.
Go ahead.
I was speaking to Mr. Morrison earlier. I have a 200-foot tower in my backyard at home. And it took me 5 years to pay the tower off from the rental income from Bell Mobility and a couple other internet providers. And that was 17 years ago.
Mm.
So everything else is over and above that.
I think part of the big thing here is we're going to have to negotiate a contract if we renegotiate the net spectrum contract to market value, and then we actively appeal to a Bell or a Rogers and say, hey, we have this, we have a spot for you if you want it, we have the potential to be able to cover this. And if we just throw it up and do nothing, then it's going to end up being a lot like the time last time you remember. Because I'm not sure how much effort was put into getting it out there to other services.
Yeah, I guess the thing too, it might have some impact on other parts of the budget, like a mini pumper and.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. I can't turn a mini pumper into a business, but it's another one of those. Anyways, we'll get there eventually.
Yeah. The other thing I guess we have to check into is the insurance company. And I'm sure there's some liability associated with this and whether this type of tower would be covered. I don't know what coverage we have now.
Well, so speaking to that, Mr. Cantilla and myself had this discussion about a year and a half ago, and it wasn't covered at all until then, because we discovered in sort of our conversations and then in correspondence with the insurance company that they had no idea it even existed. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started doing upgrades in the actual hut at that point in time, and I said, okay, I'm putting a generator in there and all this stuff. If somebody breaks in and steals it, you know, are we insured? And that's when we looked into it and discovered that we weren't. So we are insured, probably through our regular carrier that we have with everything else. I'm not aware who that is off the top of my head. But to what value, I couldn't tell you.
So when looking at timing here too, what worries me, I guess, is the shape of the tower that we have right now, and can we let it continue for any length of time the way it is? Like you said, it could be tomorrow, it could be gone, or it could be 5 years, but I don't know whether we want that risk.
We're probably the wrong storm away from having it come down.
Yeah.
That's my point.
When that comes, who knows? Right? I can't tell you. Mr. Gears can't tell you. We have no idea. But the wrong wind in the wrong direction at the wrong time with the wrong snow or ice load could potentially see that thing hit the ground. Any argument to that?
No, I only
okay.
have one little question. On the new tower,
yes.
Does it come pre-painted, pre-lit?
It is galvanized only.
Okay, so, and what is the CSA for fall rust? There was a height, and then you had to.
Right.
I don't remember what it is.
It's a gray area still, but they recommend putting fall rust on there, which this tower will have a safety cable the entire length of the tower. Basically, safety cable is when you're climbing the tower, descending the tower, you're always fastened to the tower. If you slip and fall, you won't.
So that's a fall rust?
That's correct.
That's
okay.
Fall rust, yeah. It allows maintenance of the tower the whole way up.
Yeah.
Mr. Dirks says that they have the ability and they actually have the self-supporting towers in stock, and if council can make a decision prior to October 20th, it can be in by the new year.
Mm.
With that, we would require a 30% upfront payment, but the rest of that, since the ultimate construction happens in December, would be payable under next year's budget. 70%.
70%?
The remaining 70%, you have to do 30%
from next year.
70% would be from next year. So call it 30.
For this year, 70.
From this year, 70. Or 30 for 100 from next year.
So you said mentioned something about lighting. What is the cost of the lighting?
If you were to go with a red and white lighting system, which is common, you'd be looking at painting the tower as well, and there you're looking at between $12,000 and $14,000.
On top of this, $177,000.
For white strobe lights, which does not require painting, you're looking at about $8,000. But I recommend approaching Department of Transportation and finding out if it even needs it. A lot of times in places now, towers don't need painter lights.
Oh, really?
And we have put up a couple 400-foot towers for Peel Region. I'm going back about 25 years ago. One 400-foot needed painting lights, the other one did not.
So,
So who would do the application to ICED or Industry Canada, whoever's handling that aeronautical?
Industry Canada, the aeronautical, and I can easily do that. That's no cost to actually do the application.
Yeah, I know it's just paperwork.
Paperwork, yeah.
Then they tell you you need lights and
yeah,
siren.
Sure, yeah. So we go in there proposing the tower does not need painted lights, and they say, no, sorry, it does. Or they say, no, yeah, you're right. So it's in their hands.
So how long did you say this price was good for?
The way this price is good for 60 days. But if, like I say, if we get an order within a reasonable time by between the 15th or 20th month, we have most of the self-supported tower in stock. It would just be a matter of getting the rock bolts and coordinating with our installer. And by the end of the year, you have your tower up.
Yeah, I think there are a number of steps. The resolution tonight is just to accept the the presentation sort of thing, and then the number of steps we have to take before we signed any contract.
Completely understood. That's why I tried to email it to you as soon as we could.
Yeah.
To get it in your hands and get it in your minds. So.
Anything else we need?
So.
We have a number of people to talk to.
I'm just wondering at what point do you figure that we would start making the contact with NetSpectrum and say, I think Rogers, you would think, would be a potential customer beyond there, because I think a lot of people in McKellar complain about their Rogers service.
Sure.
At what point do we start talking to them to see what kind of revenue source?
Well, I would think that would happen as soon as we had some form of an official commitment to what we would have
right.
to start making that contact. The deputy clerk, will be pulling up the contract with NetSpectrum as is. And it would be a good idea for us to go through it with a fine-tooth comb just to make sure we understand fully what the terms are, make sure there's no trap clauses or anything like that in there. Ultimately, I don't believe we're going to find much of an obstacle in NetSpectrum, because the tower is going to come down whether they like it or not, and they just have have the potential outage involved with that if they,
Well, I'm with NetSpectrum, so if they put me out, they'll know.
Well, there's our best advocate right there.
Not in their best interest.
We know who we have to make the phone calls.
And the deal we swing with them is we could put the new tower up. I guess we could put the new tower up, have it ready to go before we dismantle the old one. So there'd be very little interruption?
No lag time whatsoever would be ideal. We would have the new tower up as you remember, we've already budgeted for the transition to digital to go along with the hospital upgrade and all that stuff. So our new digital antenna will go up at the same time as the tower. Our repeater will go in the same day. Everything will be switched on before that one gets switched off. And so we would have migrated over. NetSpectrum will have the opportunity to migrate equipment over. They won't be going up to get that stuff, but they'll put new stuff on, very likely, and get all set up. So again, it's just a flick of a switch, and then that tower gets decommissioned and then brought down at the appropriate time.
Right. So I think once all the paperwork is in place and we've made the purchase, then we could at that point start talking to NetSpectrum and possibly contact Rogers and let them know what we're doing. And
once we have a time frame,
sure,
that would be the most appropriate action.
Okay.
And the expected lifespan for the new towers is 50 years too, so we're hopefully going to see this is going to outlive me. So hopefully, it's a great benefit to the township for a long period of time, and not just from an emergency services perspective, but also, Mrs. Ulag's in there. So,
well, it is a perfect look. That's dead center geographically of the municipality.
Absolutely, yeah. So with the tower being up here in the northern part of the township, it does create significant shadows going up across Broadbent Road. That has always been a problem. We're attempting to address that with the digital upgrade, and then all of a sudden we get this, and it's like, okay, well, now this just makes the most possible sense.
Yeah.
So,
yes, sir.
So, are any other departments or organizations using sat satellite for communications? Instead
no
of
emergency services that I am aware
not
of.
Not in this country.
Okay.
Florida. Are you doing cellular?
Just wondering if, you know, the tower is the only option this day and age.
To the best of all three of us, that we've never heard of anything other than tower. A tower is the most reliable. We can, just like we put the generator in the old one, we can put that same generator in this one with a Generlink, and we have the ability to run the tower when everything else is out. It's the most reliable one that we would have for an extended period of time. From an emergency management perspective, that's very attractive. I should also mention it in my summary in the thing. I did look into grants. I did try to find another way of doing this with the partnership with NOHFC as to whether they would do a grant. They won't award a grant for infrastructure like this. They'll award a grant to upgrade the infrastructure, but they won't award a grant for the actual infrastructure. So they would award a grant for generators for a fire hall, but they won't award a grant to build the fire hall. So
I wonder, even if it was proposed as an economic development proposal,
that's
that there's some government agency that would, you know, if it's being sold
as anything, that towers would get grants for
the only thing that was outcome was internet was a big thing when new internet companies, the government was pushing for internet to go all over the place. They were issuing grants for that, but that's been going by the wayside now.
That would be a Roshan question. Would be great. Carly might know more about that than myself.
We haven't been able to find any either.
Yeah, so.
Okay, great. Well, thanks very much. Food for thought, and we'll have to get up moving pretty quickly with the sounds of it. So we have a resolution here. Unless any other questions from council? And normally a topic like this, too, I'd like to open up to the public if there are anybody on Zoom that wishes to comment. Not too many on Zoom. So we have resolution 24-535, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Rob Dirks, President of Max Tower Company Limited, to present the inspection of the 200-foot guide tower located at 10 Balsam Road and tower analysis results. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Great. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll be in touch once we do a little more research.
I know him as a shortwave radio guy. He's a guru in the shortwave radio industry. He gave a lecture last year at our in the morning at our yearly
seating. Okay.
Scenario. Yes.
Well, I'm just thinking he's got some of the history here too, of course, going back to.
He does.
Yeah.
He's evidently involved with a little bit with one of the former fire chiefs. Yes.
Yeah. So it'd be good contact, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, he's well aware of the condition up there and everything.
Yeah. Okay, we've moved 17.3, the mini bumper item, up so that you can get back to your practice. We have resolution 24-536, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report FD-2024-10, expression of interest for a mini pumper mounted on a chassis from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. And further, that discussion of funding the vehicle take place during budget discussion for the 2025 budget. Okay, do you want to do a presentation to...
Well, we
don't
so
have to repeat everything that's in the report.
Yeah, no, so we conducted an EOI with a deadline of September 20th, and then last week my deputy and myself did an analysis of the submitted packages. And you have a copy of that, I believe, the results of that EOI. Dependable, which is more or less a local company. They're based in Brampton, and they do the vast majority of their services in-house. Came through with what ended up being the best score based on the criteria that we put in. Even getting some of the bonus criteria at 102.5%. So again, we went through and we detailed every part of the request of the EOI in terms of the specs, and they provided essentially the most the best price for the best unit that we could that we were hoping for, and actually provided the most additional equipment as well, choosing to include things like ladders and stuff like that, which would have been a cost to add to the truck. They are providing, which is a fantastic position to be in. So their final came in at pre-tax cost of $390,573, and so that cost plus a little bit for stickering and so forth, we would end up being somewhere just north of $400,000 with tax, plus tax. And we do get the tax back, but that's about the number. Okay. Yes?
What was the price you gave us before that we lost out on?
Yes.
I just want another
difference. That truck had a bunch of extra things on it that we didn't deem that were absolutely necessary. This truck comes in as everything that's absolutely necessary. It was $460-something.
Okay.
Yes. So the actual cost of the truck, and that was a stock truck, if you remember. So we could have driven that one off the lot the next day. And it had everything we wanted, plus. This has everything we need with a very few inclusions above and beyond what we actually require. Because, again, we went through everything, and we met with people, and we decided that, the benefit of going with a mini pumper to the township is so much greater than just going with a regular. For $279,000, we can get a squad truck with no pumper in it and be very happy with it. But it doesn't provide the tangible benefit that a G-licensed driver can now drive water to a call and actually pump and actually be that first line of attack in the case of a wildfire or the case of a structure fire. Whereas this price is fantastic as far as we're concerned for the ability to do that. We don't have everybody having a DZ license. It's a complication that, I wish it wasn't an obstacle. But in the volunteer departments, that's just what you get. Not everybody's going to be able to drive a fire truck. So this way, I believe we can provide the best possible service to the township by including that. So.
Well, it's on the radar, certainly. We'll be talking. I mean, it says 2025 budget, but it doesn't say when we're going to be talking that. We will be talking in the next few months about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got some road situations we have to talk about, and
I'm aware.
And with the fire department as well. So
yeah,
it's something that we will be discussing probably pretty shortly. I've already asked Roshan to put a list together of capital wishes, I guess, and see what he comes up with. But
we strongly encourage council to attempt to do this in the lowest possible time frame, because of what we're dealing with Rescue 2 currently, and our aspiration to keep that as a functioning vehicle. Putting the $10,000 into it got it back on the road and everything, and it's good to go. I will need to put basic stuff like winter tires on this year, if we're keeping it. But yeah, it's at the end of its life cycle for a frontline vehicle. It's the kind of thing that would probably last another 10 years if we parked it 99% of its life and only took it out to wildfires and ice rescues and loaded it with equipment, right? Or we keep it in service and we're going to cook it, and we're going to be in a position where we have to, hopefully, we have to replace it regardless, but hopefully we don't have to replace it before it's actually dead. Hopefully we replace it before it's actually dead, and we don't find ourselves in a position we've already been in twice this year where we have to borrow a truck, because I don't believe that truck's available anymore. So, and thank you very much for signing the letter for Perry Sam.
Oh, it's an excellent letter. I don't remember writing it, but that was great. Well, those are the best letters. For this particular company, now it says 2024 delivery.
Yes.
And I know costs go up, but quite often in the past, too, we've looked at situations where we've made the commitment sort of thing, but it comes out of, 2025 budget's going to be a mess here, but it is not really required right away. It's like you said, with the tower, too, there's a percentage, and then you can do the other 70% later. With this particular vehicle, how long is the price good for? Maybe it's in there.
It is in here. I should have written it down in the summary package, but it is good for... So 30% is due on order, again, the same as the tower, 70% on pickup. If we schedule pickup, they say they can deliver by the end of 2024. If we said, can we pick it up January 2nd, I'm sure it wouldn't be an issue, and 70% would be due on 2025 budget at that point in time.
Yeah, the January 2nd might be an issue, but anyway, I was thinking later in the year.
I'm not aware of many options for financing. I'm not aware of many options for leasing. There is the smaller company that we have dealt with in the past for the emergency purchase of Rescue One a couple years ago that did offer a leasing agreement, but I don't remember the terms being really attractive. It's an asset that will help the township becoming a frontline pumper out of Station 2 now makes it, it meets the insurance criteria for the underwriters, and it gives us a 20-year runway straight away, as opposed to what we currently rely on being the 2013 that we eventually have to, 8 years from now, we're going to have to replace. And that's that. At that point in time, will be almost $1 million truck. By putting a smaller pumper in place, that truck then is not relied upon for our insurance rating, and it gets a longer runway because it's a secondary apparatus. Yes, sir.
Do you know how much we have reserved for the department vehicle reserve fund?
Off the top of my head, I believe we're sitting at 113. Is it 100? Roshan and I had this discussion, but I apologize. It was.
We must have transferred some out of reserve during the course of the year, because when the budget was approved, it was $152,000. So
we haven't transferred any out. So if that's it, that must include the money from this year. That number, that must be a fresh number.
Yeah, with the $50,000.
Okay, yeah, so that must be a fresh number. I would have had last year's number. I didn't have that. Sorry. That money can be used from a tower perspective, that money can be used from a vehicle perspective, and we can essentially strategize as to how to least impact the township, essentially the taxpayer, going forward. Maybe it's better to pay for the tower up front in cash with that money.
Or we could pay the 30% for both.
Okay, 30% out of that for both.
Yeah, it's just an event. That's why we have to
from what I can see, we have $72,000 in reserve that's been accumulated for the rent for the Rogers Tower.
So how long is that? I'm not aware of that. How long has that been? That's them renting the property from you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was the 2014 to 2018 term of council.
Okay. Sorry, I was thinking that would be some kind of a reflection of what we could expect as an income from them, but that's not. No, okay. Different things. Sorry, apples and oranges. So, and it doesn't go, I don't like being the guy who always asks for money.
Well, you are.
And I've heard on occasion somebody talking behind me saying, oh, that's the fire chief, he always asks for money. And it's not, this tower could have been softened if we had maintained it over the years, if there had been foresight to maintain it. There's a lot of things that we're coming across that there wasn't the foresight to maintain, and there wasn't the tracking that went into it. There are various parts of my job that I'm noticing that, right, you know, over the last 2 years. But, you know, it doesn't go without the thought that, you know, we also have, if we do this, we still now have to save up for 3 years from now when we need to buy new SCBAs, which is a $250,000 purchase. So it's not lost on me that there is a lot of expectation. The good news is we're going to be good for a real long time after all this is said and done. But it's unfortunately it's just all coming to a head because it wasn't tackled in a more progressive manner. So,
no, we certainly appreciate your researching this and ensuring that we have much better protection and service for the people. And that comes at a cost, obviously, and it's just hitting us all at once, like you said. Well, thanks very much for the presentation, and as we always say, we'll get back to you.
Yep, so the I believe the quote for dependable was good for, let me just pull that here. I think it was good until October 20th.
Oh, I seem to like that date.
It seemed to like, well, the closing date was September 20th. Let me find that exactly. Carly, do you remember what it was?
That's fine. We know it's very soon.
It's in the next, yeah, it's within the month.
Yeah.
So, but yes, so anything, any other questions at all?
Mm-hmm. Just the one thing, looking at the scoring of the mini pumper.
Yes.
You just have the total percentages?
Yes.
Do you have the actual breakdown of the...
I do have the breakdowns, but they're in handwritten form. I only provided you synopsis. I have essentially pen marked.
Okay.
Paper for what was valued at what amount and the different notes that went along with it, such as, you know, did a company include rollout trays? Did they include the tool board? Did they include SCBA holders in the seat? That kind of thing. I made notes of all that and we assigned essentially a value to all of those.
I think that was well done. I think the evaluation process, sir. Okay. No further questions. I've already read the resolution, so I'll call for the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried.
Thank you very much.
37, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the September 17, 2024 regular meeting of Council and the September 19, 2024 special meeting of Council. Is there any discussion of those minutes? All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Resolution 24-538, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received the amended minutes of the August 9th, 2024 meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Any discussion of those minutes? I'm noticing it is difficult to follow them because everything seems to be included in there, and then they have an asterisk, I guess, of the important things that were discovered at, or discussed at that meeting, but I guess it's so it's sort of archived and they know things they have to look at, but it probably could be simplified. But. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-539, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the June 24th, 2024 meeting of the Township of McKellar Public Library Board. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-540, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PW-2024-09, request for proposal 2024-14, Public Works Garage Heating, from Project Administrator PW Tom Stoneman, and further award request for proposal 2024-14, Public Works Garage Heating, to Shadow River Mechanical in the amount of $26,898.90. Plus HST of $3,496.86, a total amount of $30,395.76, and further that a 10% contingency be made available for minor component repairs if required. And we have Tom here for us, so maybe you want to come up and speak to it. We have your report already, so just the highlights.
The highlights are in the report, so basically if you have any questions, I reviewed the proposals thoroughly. Wasn't as fancy as Rob and scored them, but I worked it backwards. I took the lowest tender and looked at all the others to see if they were lacking anything. And in fact, their warranty was equal to the best warranty in the other proposals, which is 10 years on the heat exchangers and 5 years on all other components. And they offered first year service free, which you should have your furnace serviced annually. So I see no need for discussion. All the components were equal,
right?
You know, like the size of the boiler, you know, what they're doing. They're all proposing two boilers rather than one. They work in tandem when they explain to me why that works better and more efficiently. So there was no surprises.
And what was the time frame on this?
He actually stated in his proposal October 7th would be an anticipated start date because he knows he wants to have it before the cold season. Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of what was budgeted?
It was.
In that amount, okay.
Almost right on, pretty much.
Yeah.
Any further questions for Tom? Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. While we have you here. Resolution 24-541, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report PW-2024-10, tender 2024-15, the purchase of one Class 5 four-wheel drive through cab dump truck from Project Administrator PW Tom Stoneman, and further authorize the capital purchase of a Ram 5500 four-wheel drive truck with dump box in the amount of $91,000. Plus delivery of $375, plus HST of $11,830, for for a total amount of $103,205. Well, you want to add anything to that too? I guess it was quite a journey you went on to get this. But.
Yeah, it was a complicated process just because we didn't get any respondents to our tender. And all applicants, you know, stating that they were busy, which, I mean, that's not an excuse, but but what do you do? So I contacted them directly to see if they could give us a price if that would work fairly, not sharing. And the Dodge dealer, the one we have, offered the price before asking, actually. Mm. So that was emailed to me and in my computer, and I asked the Ford dealer numerous times, and they indicated they were interested and kept saying that they're busy because their employee pricing is on right now. And I feel strongly about dealing with a local dealership when you buy a vehicle for ongoing service. We're probably going to own this truck for 10 years, so if they're too busy to give us a quote on the truck, or are they too busy to service it later?
Good point.
So, I don't know. We did do our homework. We had quotes. If you walk into a dealership, you'll walk out with a piece of paper in your hand telling you how much that truck is. I don't know why it was so hard to fill out a tender form. But in doing that, we have three quotes from Ford, and they're all higher than that price from Dodge.
Yeah.
They're similar, but all a couple of $1,000 higher. So I think I feel confident that that's a good price.
Yeah.
If that's what we choose to do and what we budgeted for, I see no reason in not pursuing that.
And the public works department's happy. This is what they wanted, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ford is a diehard Ford man, but he'll be happy with the new truck. It's just more serviceable. With the new rules on traffic control and the number of people we need out there, even when we're patching potholes, you can't all ride in one truck, so the crew cab truck will serve us much better.
And what was the, just put you on the spot here, the lifespan of the one we have now? Was it?
It's a 2009, and it's getting pretty tired.
Okay.
I just had to do more work to it last week.
Yeah.
And what did we have in the budget? 101,000.
Pretty good estimating. And again, that might be in there too. Delivery date? Is that
He did put a delivery date in it.
I believe that one they had a vehicle at a different dealership.
We assume they did because he's quoting at 2024, which at this stage of the game you'd think they'd be ordering in 2025.
Right.
And the delivery date was very early in January, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought we put it in the report, but maybe we
didn't. Maybe not, but it wasn't within the first couple weeks of January.
Because it was part of the time.
Is this a diesel?
No,
it's
gas. And a diesel nowadays is not a good idea for a public works department.
No, I just wondered because I didn't see it in here.
Yeah, it's.
And does it have, what about underquoting?
We didn't ask for it. We do have someone come in annually to underquote our trucks. Separate service.
Walk heater?
Hasn't yet. Yeah, the crew and I went through it. Our wish things, plow prep package, block heater, rubber floor mesh so we can clean it, you know, things because it gets dirty.
What was the first thing you said?
Plow prep package.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it'll be set up that if there is a plow on the old truck, so if we want to move it over to the new truck in the future, it's going to cost us a plow harness and some wiring. So
okay.
It'll be set up that it's got the right transmission and coolers and stuff to handle plow.
Does it have a hitch if you need to?
Yes,
okay.
It'll be part of the truck body.
Well, excellent. A lot of research in that, I think. And
it did take
detail.
It did take quite a while. Yeah.
Good.
It's I'm not a truck builder, and I'm still before it's ordered or to sit down with the dealer now that we get the go ahead tonight and make sure it's the truck we want. We want something that's serviceable. We don't want something, because it's now a crew cab, we don't want it so long that we've got to go out to somebody's farm field just to turn around and come back.
Yeah, our turnarounds aren't that big. Well, that's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Call a question to council. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Anything else on there for him?
Nope.
Great. Thanks for coming out. received the District of Prairie Sound Social Services Administration Board CAO report for April, May, and June 2024 for information purposes. Discussion? That is 2024 this time, right?
It is.
Just as detailed. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 24-543, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak, to resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Rob Gibson to the Township's Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Troughing visited St. Stephen's Church to provide an estimate for painting the church's roof and resecure the roof with new fasteners where required. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby accept the quotation from David Winter in the amount of $5,000 plus HST of $650 for a total of $5,650. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
So May 8th, 2015, our CBO had attended St. Stephen's and completed an inspection on April 16th, 2015. And of the items noted, he indicated the existing steel roof should be removed and replaced with new steel roof. Does he still feel the same way?
He does.
And where is this money coming out of? What reserve account?
The St. Stephen's Capital. We were under budget in other items.
So I guess the question we have, which you're raising here, is life expectancy of what exists. Whether anyone wants to speak to that. We've got a number of things that are wearing out, I guess, and have to be replaced. Can we still exist? Are there leakages at the church? Does it need a new roof? I mean, it was recommended at the time, I guess, but would a painting suffice for a number of years? I don't know.
Maybe another inspection needs to be done by the CBO since that one was done in 2015. And that was 10 years later now.
Yeah. Again, the other question I have with this particular one, I guess, is the insurance coverage. I don't know this person. Is there any indication, do we have an actual proposal? Is there something that he's fully covered through compensation, et cetera, et cetera? Because you're talking a fairly high risk adventure here. I don't know if that's been investigated.
No.
Well, I think we need somebody who's insured. Even
yeah.
Somebody taking down a tree, I think you want to make sure that there's coverage because anything can happen. What would be the next step in that?
Well, don't you think first we should have the CBO check and see? But if he said back in 2010 that it was needed a new roof, is that right, Carly?
2015.
And he said it needed a new roof?
From the document that Councillor Kekkonen has, yes, and I did approach him last week and ask his opinion, and it's the same as that report.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we need to find out if this person has insurance.
I would think it's a as far as a new roof. I mean, as I say, it's been 10 years on now since that report, which means it's probably more of a dire situation. But I guess the other concern in all of this is if we're opening this up to the public, in particular, in those 10 years at interval, was there anything going on in the church at the time? If it had a bad roof, there was nobody in there necessarily to endanger their safety, but now if we're going to open it up to the public, and I guess it's just a question too of the money that's been spent on this. I don't know where we sit as far as putting a new roof on.
whether we can put that in immediately or whether we have to delay even opening it to the public. I don't know.
Well, I believe structurally, whether the roof gets painted, a new steel roof gets put on, that structurally it's affecting the structural integrity of the building, of anyone going in or out or around the building. I don't know what the reasoning is for replacing the steel roofing. Looking at it from the inside, you don't see any places where the water is leaking in. Now that the chimney is being removed and a new piece of steel roofing patch is being put on to cover where the chimney was, if there was any water coming in at that location, which I can't even see, you would be able to notice because it's wood flooring, and you can see the roof boards from inside there, so you can't really see any leaks. So I'm not sure. It says a report here that the roofing should be replaced, but just visually from what I've been able to see, I don't see anything that would indicate that, the roof isn't flopping in the wind. There might be a couple of spots where there are some loose fasteners. That's why I asked about would any fasteners which seem to be replaced, will they be replaced? So I don't know if Councillor Askham has any other comments.
Yeah, a fellow came and looked at it, and he sort of thought it was in good shape. He said it's great, it has no rust. In his opinion, he thought it was in great shape and it's ready for paint, and he would resecure any fasteners that seem loose. And there's not very many spots where, like, it's nails holding it, and you can see that's lifting up a little bit. So if those new fasteners were put in, and with no rust on that existing steel, and it was painted, I shouldn't guess, but I would guess that it would last a long time, that roof, with that paint job. So, but that's, I'm not an extreme professional, but I was shocked at the price that he gave. I expected a lot more than that, especially for the heights. But then he showed me a picture of the machine he uses. They don't have to be on the roof at all. It's like a large Ginny lift kind of thing, and it shows them. It has a picture of him at doing a barn, and apparently he did a couple of barns in Parry Sound, so I got a positive feeling out of the whole situation, so I lean toward thinking that, I don't know what a new roof's going to cost, but you'd be talking a lot more than that, and I just thought it'd be a way of making the church, it's looking so great, now the only holdback is the roof looks terrible, because it's next to no paint on it, and I felt good that it was maybe the way to go without getting into spending tens of thousands more kind of things. So.
Now, would you be agreeable with your motion? Because I'm still concerned about the liability coverage that this person has covered.
I agree totally that would have to be a condition,
yeah,
that they do have liability insurance, which I'm sure they do. It's their business. I can't see them not having it. So.
No, I'm sure they have it. It's just a question of, we have to have a print, I think. And,
oh, yeah.
And if this person's work alone or whether he has a company, I don't know.
He was a bigger company, and now he's, because it's so hard to keep employees, he's downscaled, so it's just him and his wife now. So they're both on site. She's on the ground, and he's up in the lift kind of thing. But as far as I know, he's still a full, legitimate business. He pulls in with a truck with ladders on and the whole bit, which I don't think he probably used just for show. And his truck has his business name on it and pictures on the back of the machine doing a roof. So everything about him seemed very professional. He's been in it for forever by the sounds of it. And he comes recommended by, I take it, a business or two in Parry Sound. He did their barns.
I wonder what, just something that came to mind just now is, I wonder what kind of prep work he does just in regards to overspray, because it is a black roof and it's brand new white paint siding.
Good boy.
Right. Well, I think think one of the conditions was he gets paid.
Conditional.
Yeah.
He would like to receive the check as soon as he's done the job and pulling off the site. I would almost think it'd be a good idea that somebody has, well, somebody have to give him the check, but an inspection would be done at that point to make sure that there's just not something ridiculous. I'm sure he's going to do a wonderful paint job, but to make sure, yeah, there isn't overspray, and if you did hire him, that's something that could be mentioned to him, that we've spent a lot of money on the church, and we don't want more of a black than what we're hoping. But all that being said, does council want to look at the option of getting a price of new metal on that church? Good. The problem is, good luck with finding somebody that'll actually come out and give a price, and then I know it's everything's tens of thousands now, and that's why I was so surprised by him. But he's running a very efficient little company now. He doesn't have to worry about employees, and that he's keeping it simple and it seems very professional.
No, I think this would spruce it up, and especially be good for the ribbon cutting and the grant from the NOHFC. And if we have to look down the road, you know, looking at a new roof, that could be something in the future, but it would certainly help for the initial step here to have it painted.
Well, if ever a new roof ever happened, maybe somebody will pay $5,000 for nice, shiny, new black steel.
Yeah. We've tried that before with old bridges and any number of things, and or old garages, and or even the community center, the old agricultural hall. You know, pay us, and you can have, well, we tried it just recently with the old barn, too, and no, we end up paying. But yeah, you're right, it's possible.
Just a side question, the railings for St. Stephen's?
They'll be done this fall. I'll reconnect with the iron welding design, but they have been notified that they were awarded the quotation, and they do have it in their schedule.
Yeah, just wondering this time of year too, with the dew staying on things later, temperatures being cooler, and you know, you've been very fortunate not to have a lot of rain because the water sits in the nooks and crannies of on the steel roofing there. So I'm just hoping that we're not too late, you know, for it to actually adhere properly. And
If it does go through, are you going to be then in contact with them, Charlie, and kind of basically see it through? Kind of think so. Again, that's something you mentioned to him was the overspray, and that he doesn't attempt to do it when it's too wet or anything like that. He seemed pretty professional. I'm sure that them are givens for him, but no harm in putting the word out there that we're watching.
If it's approved, probably the sooner the better, not tomorrow because, you know, it's possibly raining tonight, but temperatures are falling. And
yeah, it's getting that time of year, so he was kind of excited he could fit it in. Unfortunately, couldn't get the go-ahead, but the Thursday and Friday he had open kind of thing, so if we got the word in with him tomorrow, he seemed excited about the job. That because it comes from our roots of an old community that had old churches like that. So I think he was quite enthused by it, and to make it, he said it'll look like a brand new roof on that church. So he's probably excited about seeing the results too.
So if this is approved, how soon would he be notified?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
But then I wouldn't be able to have a check to him. When he's completed it, I will have to go with the regular check run. I don't know if he's local. It would be mailed, but
Southern Ontario,
okay.
Somewhere really area.
Okay.
I kind of think if you talk to him and be in a township, I'm sure.
Okay.
He's probably used to dealing with people. Well, I think what it is to travel, the time to maybe go get a check,
right?
Kind of thing. So you can make other arrangements with him.
Okay, so the amendment is to add further that adequate liability insurance and proof of WSIB be provided to the township prior to starting the work. Call the question first of all on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed? And now on the entire amended resolution. Call the question.
Could we back up on that one thing? And I get a feeling it's going to be a drawback, and that's proof of the workers' compensation.
Well, he may not be eligible for workers' comp because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have any employees,
that's
so
right.
we would just waive that. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Even with that motion,
yeah.
that's yeah, because I, being small business, a lot of my life, yeah, you weren't required to have.
Yeah, if he's not required to have WSIB,
oh, okay.
that's fine.
Right. Okay.
Good question. So on the amended resolution, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 24-545.
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Councilor Pecknan, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2024-74. Being a bylaw to appoint a public works superintendent at first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open council this first day of October 2024. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Finished business. And on that list. I have new business. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Yes, Councilor Zulak.
Library. The library would like to put a flyer in the spring tax bills as they missed out on it the last time. That's all right. And I mentioned to the board that the doors and the windows must be locked up after the events are hosted by the library, or we will have to start charging fees to the board. And because apparently the window was open and the door was open, and Terry admitted that she had left it open, and so she was going to advise her staff to make sure that everything was locked up. And on October the 9th, from 2 to 4 in the library, the Lake Stewardship Committee is going to be putting on a presentation, I guess the same one as that they did here. Going to be doing that at the library for the public.
What's the presentation on?
On the waste.
Oh.
The one they did here.
Right.
That's what they're doing it on, regarding the recycling.
So this one will be advertised though, rather than the other one?
I don't know.
Well, who's putting it on?
Yeah, the library.
Right.
Yeah, so it should be advertised.
Right.
Yeah, it should be advertised, yeah. So, does the custodian do the library, the garbage and the recycling and the carpet?
Yes, she
vacuum
does.
It? Okay,
yep.
Because
she vacuumed it today.
Yeah, they were asking me and I thought that she did, but
yes.
I guess after the fall fair, the straw,
oh,
it was in the, in where the kids are.
Yep.
Kids sit in the library, and so I think the chair had come over and asked Mary if she could get the vacuum
okay.
and do that. So, but I can let them know that
yep.
yeah, that is part of her
yes.
her duties. Then there's another Steve McDonnell. You had spoke with him, Carly, regarding the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the library, he sent a letter to the library. And he's saying that the MLCA has decided to purchase a robust outdoor portable PA system that can be used by community groups to help them have better sound at their events. The system will be identical to the one we have used at the RIVPES for the past 2 years. The system will have two powerful speakers, two tall speaker stands, cables for speakers, a soundboard that can handle the two speakers and inputs, guitars, miscellaneous, two wireless microphones. We will purchase a case for the soundboard. The system will have a value of approximately $2,500.
I visited the library last Saturday and described the size of the equipment to Lynn Campbell, and we briefly brainstormed storage options. Well, they're saying the library really doesn't have the space for that unit, and they're actually wondering, would it be something more that the township would want to keep and lend out as people need it?
Well,
or could they find space to put it?
Well, the thing is, we had to, I don't know what happened, maybe we still have them, we had two speaker systems here that you could, that were portable. You took them out to different events years
yes.
back, and I don't know whether they're still here or not, but one was actually a cordless mic, too, and so you could actually do it from a distance. $2,500 doesn't sound like an awful lot for a really good system, but it may be. I'm sure they've investigated it. I think it's the township certainly could use it for different functions, but a storage, I don't know.
Yeah, because like the library, what they're saying is they don't really have the place to store it, and they're sort of nervous about it being, you know, lent out to different groups if something happens with it. And so they suggested, do they think that the township would be interested in taking this speaker system if the MLCA, you know, is willing to do it that way? It's just that they said that the, I guess they spoke with you, Carly, and they said the library, you know, lends out a lot of different things now. They do a lot of different lending, so they thought maybe that that would be something the library would want to do. But it's just, it says in here, to community groups, so it's not like to the Johnny Public. It's to, you know, I guess you could use it at the Remembrance Day, or like at the, when they had that science thing down in the rink there, or the agricultural, you know, the fair, because the...
Yeah, that wasn't a pleasant experience.
No.
At the fair.
No, that's, I don't know, the speakers don't seem to broadcast very well, do they?
So where are the previous unit,
right.
was units, was it unit or units?
Two.
Two units.
They were excellent. I used them a number of times.
Where are those?
Don't know. They were stored over here.
They're kicking around. One was over behind the stage last time I got, because I had to get one for the kids' fish derby. And that was not the rec one. Was the rec one that I used for years was a cordless mic.
Right.
Well, apparently the cordless mic is missing, I think. So I used the one with the cord. And it works wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's good, but a nice new unit that works. But like you say, if it have to be controlled by, I would almost think the office would have to control as to who borrows it and make sure it gets back. And then, yeah, where is it going to be stored? It's going to be stored somewhere in the community center, I guess. I don't know if there's room behind the stage again to...
I don't know, because apparently it's two tall speakers.
Right.
So I don't know if we could get a cupboard, build a cupboard, or buy a cupboard and have it locked. You know, outside, I was just looking outside the washroom here, there's all that cloak there, but there's quite a bit of space, so they don't use it that much, right? Maybe we could get a lock cabinet put there. I don't know. I didn't feel that it was something the library should be handling, and they didn't seem to feel that either, because they thought it was quite expensive and that they don't have the space, and it probably would be something more like for the office to, you know, lend out to people. So they asked me to bring that forward. So think on it. And
yeah, we can work with Steve McDonnell.
And decide on that. And what else was there? The multi-purpose room. Right, the multi-purpose room there. There's cupboards in there, but they're locked. Does anybody have the keys?
Seniors.
The seniors have the keys? Because it's almost like the kitchen. Things are piled up outside, and if there's nothing in the cupboards in there that need to be there, then we could get them out and, you know, make it more friendly looking in there.
No, I know when it was added on, built on, that was a concern. And
so
I think your contact is the person to talk to.
To Marianne?
Right.
Okay. See if they have the keys.
Right.
Because, yeah, there's like somebody said there's yarn and all kinds of stuff sitting around that could be put away and it doesn't look so shoveled in there. Just, okay. So I'll do that. Okay.
Sounds good.
I guess that's enough for the library. The only other one was Belvedere. So Belvedere, the opening of the new 22 beds is supposedly in 2026. Back in July, apparently, they sent a letter to the municipalities regarding the $700,000 that they had returned to all the different municipalities at one point. Each municipality, I think ours was, what was it, 40 or 70 or something that we got. And it's just a heads up that they're going to be, because that letter was sort of sent as a confidential letter, I don't believe it came to council because I asked that. And they said, no, it was just like a heads up that they're going to be asking for that money back.
See, that's interesting. Because
yes.
At the time, they really patted themselves on the back that they were saving so much money.
Yes.
And they sent it to municipalities, no strings attached.
Yes. And
now there were strings.
Yes.
We may have spent it all.
Yeah,
that's what my fear was. Okay, and also, so far proposed a town hall at Belvedere on October the 9th, in person and on Zoom, regarding the new build. And it's open to everyone. The invitations are supposed to be coming out to all of the municipalities or the public, whoever wants to go, and to give you more information as to what they have now, as far as the new build and what the costing, if they're getting closer to it, because the deadline is the end of November, hoping to see if they get the grant for that extra $35 per day per bed. So they're trying to get everything all in and their financing and everything in for that date. December the 8th is the 60th anniversary. More will come on that. They're doing presentations to Whitestone and McDougall in mid-October if McKellar still wants to have a presentation regarding, the new beds or the life lease or anything. We should.
Our presentation will be November 5th.
Okay, we got one then. So, that's pretty well it. That's
okay. Great. Thank you. Anything on the planning board?
Yes, all sorts of applications.
Yeah.
Most of them went through and there was a motion put on the tables to who's in favor of Carling leaving the planning board. It ended up being a tie vote. The two Carling reps and the two McDougall reps voted in favor that, yes, they're in favor of Carling leaving, and McKellar and Whitestone voted against. So it was a tie vote, which meant defeated vote. So basically the planning board is saying no, not to let Carling go. So that's the way it sits. But of course, we're going back to municipal affairs, and when they see that it was a tie vote, it's going, oh, they're going to be starting scratching their head and kind of things. So I guess they'll continue to pursue, I would think, to pull away from the planning board. So I don't know if much more to add.
No, that's good. And the one application from McKellar went through, so the Greenwood application.
Yeah, lots of applications. Looks like we'll reach the amount of applications that we budgeted for the year. It's looking like, so that's always good news. So that covers all costs kind of thing. So, yeah, that's it for the planning board. Recreation Committee, planning for movie nights are getting running good now. We're going to have a Halloween handout here at the Community Center on Saturday, October the 26th. Georgian Bay Winds is coming into the Community Center to do a show in late October. I'm not 100% sure on that date yet. I haven't heard, but it's around late October, just before Halloween. It's they're kind of looking at. So pickleball will be moving into the Community Center, just like we need all sorts of more activities in there. So from the arena. Oh, and the recreation committee was quite pleased with the action that's been taken. They had all those concerns, the pickleball players. They were really happy with the amount of action that was taken to get the washrooms going and different aspects. So they're happy with that. They're still going to maybe look in to see this. And I'm not even sure what the predicament is over the tennis stand ends or whatever kind of thing. Like, obviously, we said no, you're not drilling any holes in. So I think they're just going to see if there's another solution. We'll hear about it anyway. That's about it. I just, as side notes, I went over to the new ball diamond and I put blue ribbons on trees showing that where maybe a potential trail could go from the ball diamond down to the lake. So if you're over there, wait for it to dry up. But it's around where third base would go down, and it's a kind of a nice spot. It goes down there and be all rock where it hits the lake, a nice little spot. So as a proposal to not only summertime access, but for any snowmobilers that were used to going across the field down the lake. So, and I don't know if that could be relayed to our to Bob Hughes.
Yeah, when you were in that day, I let Tom know, and he was going to go show Bob.
Oh, okay, so whether we could have a gate that could swing open or something at that point in the winter times. Another thing, I don't know what process we've got to take, but I'm wondering, as a side job for the roads department, is enlarging the parking lot at the Broadbent Ball Diamond. It's just one of those things that if they're doing excess ditching or whatever, or do happen to have extra time, which maybe they don't, but where they could enlarge that parking lot. It actually used to be a bigger one time, but all trees kind of keep creeping in on it kind of thing. So if Tom thinks that, yeah, that's something, yeah, they could really use it as a little place to maybe get rid of excess material or whatever, I could meet him there and we could go over. I think it's just a case of making sure we maintain our 60 feet in width, which it is now if the trees are knocked back a bit, and maybe adding on another 50 or 60 feet in depth. I went and checked it out today. It's all level ground, just basically fall little trees or all little wee trees. Okay, I think so. It's really easy to do, but I know a person's got to have time. Another thing I'd like to see maybe at some point, it might be in our budget talks, but I think we should, as we've seen that in Carling there, their nice new floor in their mm-hmm. gymnasium. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's new. If it's not new, well, then we really want one. our floor, at least the last time I was in, with the 12-inch panels, you can almost see they're all kind of curling up now. We don't want it like Herdville Road, where all the kids keep putting it off, and the next thing you know, you have a bad sporting event in there, and it's just, you know. So I think it's something that's kind of got to come close to our top of our priorities.
Yeah,
I'm sure we're to the point of using up our reserves for the community center. It must be kind of getting close, unfortunately. So I think it's something we need to get a price on, and maybe a couple of contractors have been doing a lot of the work might have some insight on that. And then a presentation tonight, I'm just wondering whether, I know it's a while off before budget talks, or whether we should consider a special small meeting with Rojan, or give direction to Rojan to do some sort of a how possibly we could afford the truck and tower and all that. What's in reserve? What can we bring in to for that cost?
I'm hoping there's a he's been working on it. Capital proposals anyway, because I knew we were getting from different departments, so we had to put something together. We'll be doing that later this fall, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. No, okay, that's all I have.
I have something under.
Sure.
Under. Nobody else does. Morley just reminded me. So at Minerva Park, I was wondering if the roads guy could upgrade the topsoil there, and, you know, like put a topping on there. And when you're going out of the pavilion, it needs to be leveled off and stuff. It's all gotten ready and. I know because I tripped going.
So that's to make it easier for cars to drive through the pavilion?
No.
Oh, okay.
For people walking.
Oh, okay.
For people walking, because I know when I was at one of the market days there, I was sort of went in a rut and fell over, and I'm thinking other people, you know, twist their leg or something there. So I think it needs to be, you know, sort of leveled off and that. Now would be the time to do it.
and you know, to top up the topsoil, you know, just sprinkle a little bit around there.
So
it would be good.
So probably build it up with some sand first, so that topsoil.
Well, I think there's stone there when you go out.
Oh, stone at the entrance.
Yeah.
So some stone there.
And actually, you know, when you go, not the in, but you go the out, a guy was walking and he tripped coming in the driveway. Like he sort of went down in a rut. So I think it needs to be graded up and sort of cleaned up there a little bit after the heavy rains and different things.
The parking lot? Or
yeah, parking lot. And the other one was at the pavilion itself.
The pavilion, it probably could use some type of a sand level the entire area because
they'll figure out something.
Because it is uneven, and I thought as well walking there that oh my god, it needs
something
to level it out.
Yeah. And like this would be the time of year to, you know, to put topsoil on, you know, would be over the winter and that. Another thing I was wondering is the washroom downstairs, if there was a little sign when you walk in says washroom, you know, just one of those little finger signs, because there is a sign on the door, but unless you go around the corner, you don't notice it.
Yeah,
so.
No, probably couldn't hurt.
Eh?
Yeah, and we'll have to make sure, you know, with the post office employee that it is a public washer. It's
yeah.
not just for the post office, you know.
Yeah.
Wherever that might be.
Yeah, I don't know. And do we know how much is in parkland dedication? No, I guess I can.
It's growing, isn't it?
Yeah. That's all.
Councillor Keckin is getting a figure for you.
Do we still have money left from the kitchen?
Not much, no.
Like, could we buy frying pans?
I did. I bought pans and pots.
Pots and pans, but no actual frying pans, eh?
Like with a, like a black...
Like Teflon?
Teflon surface?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honey?
Well, just there's a couple in there, and then they look disgusting if you threw that, pitched those out and got a couple new ones. The same as the pots and pans, the old ones are sitting there, and that, you know.
With instructions on how to use them as opposed to the countertop.
Yeah.
So, parkland dedication is $28,290. From here, unless something's being transferred out of there.
Yeah, we're going to try building that up substantially one day.
Okay, it was a meeting at the Westbury Sound Health Center. They had an update on Zoom on Monday, yesterday, I guess, 4 o'clock to 5:10. And they pretty well had the whole staff of the hospital on there. And also, there were Belvedere Heights and Lakeland, and it was all through the health. They talked about thanking all the municipal partners coming up 20 years since the hospital was built. And they wanted to thank all the communities for coming together at the time and raising the funds for that. And it may be a lead in to raising funds for something else, but anyway. And they recognized the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. They talked about various members of different departments talked about what they've been doing over the past little while. The Meditech Expanse program, it's an electronic program they purchased or bought into 3 or 4 years ago, and it's throughout the Northeast now, and it's a single electronic health information system to improve the delivery of safe, evidence-based, patient-centered care. So as long as the system doesn't go down, I think make it more seamless when you go from one hospital to the next. The goal is to establish a system that standardizes care across all entities, similar to what we heard, I guess, from that one representative, I guess he was the mayor of Armour, was it? The Municipal Association, wanting more official plans and zoning to be compatible so that developers wouldn't have to go through all different systems. Sort of the same thing here with the, depending on which hospital you ended up in, then, nurse practitioner facility, they would have the same sort of records and equipment availability how to help you. The electronic health record, they started that back in 2019, and they also put out the carrot, I guess, that an MRI might be coming to the health center. They don't have any particular date, but nurse practitioners, they've been able to fill the ones in Britt and Loring, often difficult to find them there. But they say have 14 in total right now, nurse practitioners. The Ontario Health Team, we had Sylvia Jones come to the Stocky Center, if you recall, last year or year and a half, talking about the health team. So it's the newest one in the area. And it covers quite a large area as well. There's 58 of them in Ontario. And apparently next week there's a big announcement about the new CEO that's going to be hired. So they couldn't go public with it yet. They know who it is. But the COVID, the new outbreak, they said, is at the hospital now. So people have to mask up again. All admitted patients are tested. Rapid testing for the staff. Masking required in patient areas. They've increased the use of personal protection equipment, the PPEs. New vaccines are not yet released, but they think in 2 to 4 weeks there'll be some available. And they'll try to set up some shots in the community again so people can go for that. The funding for COVID has dried up and much of the old stock has been destroyed. So they've got the work to cut out for them. And there's no free antigen tests apparently now too that you have to pay for them. So that'll have to be investigated. I guess their feeling was that the province still hasn't said that there's a COVID fear or another outbreak, so they haven't really financed it yet. But they're trying to be precautionary, certainly, at the health center. Ontario Health at Home, they've talked about that too. It's still run provincially. They're trying to get it into the health team as well, so there's more control, but you have to go through the health at home. We had a presentation on that, I think, a meeting or two ago at the Municipal Association, and they seem to be quite happy with that. And you have to go through that system, apparently, for any long-term care application. So when you go to Lakeland or Bellevue, you have to go through the Ontario Health at Home. The EMS is expanded. I didn't catch everything that Donald Sanderson had said, but I think it's expanded into the area in the northeast. They're still dealing a lot with collective bargaining through Bill 124. I'm not familiar with the bill, but apparently it's creating a lot of headaches and uncertainties and with the bargaining units and how they're going to be paid. And then there's reconciliation, historical reconciliation to be dealt with. And the auditors from KPMG have said that all the health fields are experiencing the uncertainty. The government just hasn't been coming forward yet with the it's things that they want to invest in, I guess, and they haven't been doing a great job looking at advanced technology, but the province hasn't supplied the money. Although they were provided with $3.5 million, I think they'd said, for structural adjustments, but the finance department said that doesn't go very far. The shortage, they admitted that there are main areas that have to be covered by scheduled imports, people coming in once or twice a week. Internal medicine is one of the main areas. They don't have enough people on staff. Anesthesiologists, I think they said at one point they had seven of one and they're down to three anyway. Orthopedic surgeons, they're partnering with Sudbury, they don't have enough there too. So they talked about the wait time now. There might be a reason for a 7-hour wait in the ER because of the orange helicopters that are coming and going. But they have a new, apparently a website that they're working on, and it'll have a section, according to Donald Sanderson, in the top left corner telling you what the wait time is if you go to the ER, so you can decide whether you want to go or not. I don't know if it's functioning just yet. And staffing, this is interesting. They said 80% are in the 40s and younger in the staffing. So it looks promising for the future if they hang in there. We may not be around, some of us, to take advantage of it, but... And they're trying to recruit, I think they've done this over the years, recruit families and not just single people coming in. It's hard to get the single people, and they want to be part of a larger health team if they can. And this is really interesting. I have to get more information on this. They said they had 70 or 65 residences available, short and long term, for professionals in the health field. I don't know how they, if they had that information, I mean, I just don't know. People are scrambling for properties right now, and he seems to think, this is Donald Sanderson, we'll have to have that confirmed, that, if they contact him and they want to practice in the area, whether it be short or long term, then they have available housing for them. So whether it be a rental or a purchase or whatever, mortgages, that seemed like a large number to me.
considering now they talk about there's nowhere.
Yeah.
No housing.
I don't know how they could keep that lock on the market if they have that inventory, but maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah, I've heard that I don't know so much for families, but I know that new nurses coming in, they have a lot of good elderly people in Parry Sound that will take in, new nurses coming into the area, to supply them with a place to stay in that. Apparently, a good supply of very generous people in town that way, but as far as a family, I've never heard that, but could be possible. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, seem to be quite busy. Any other reports? Okay, we have resolution 24-546, moved by Councillor Tekkinen, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that? Okay. I'm wondering about that one from Whitestone. I know we passed some of them in the past, but did we actually deal with that one specifically? Because I know some other townships are endorsing it. And there's a couple clauses in there. I think council would certainly have to agree to all the clauses, otherwise you wouldn't support it, but maybe that's something we could look at to see if we could support it at a future meeting, if there's anything in there that we haven't supported already. Okay, call a question on this. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions, comments from the public? Items on the agenda, in person or on Zoom? Hearing none. We have resolution 24-547, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-75, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open Council this first day of October 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-548, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:25
p.m. to meet again on October the 15th, 2024, call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.